Today we're interviewing Bob Youngs of Forest Products Labs. This is for the 100-year centennial celebration coming up here in the Oral History Project. Mr. Youngs, first question, what, if anything, in your early years prepared you to work for the Forest Products Labs?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Sure. What prepared you to work for the Forest Products Labs?
What prepared me to?
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure I'm understanding you correctly.
I guess, what is your early background, your education, your personal interests, or just sort of your early years? How did that lead to you working at Forest Products Labs?
Okay. I can give you a little and then ask me questions. I think the first awareness I had of the Forest Products Laboratory was when I was studying wood technology as an undergraduate at the College of Forestry at Syracuse. And one of the textbooks that we had was the first wood, what was it, the, I can't think of the name now, the wood manual,
Did you have any interest in forestry or wood previous to going to Syracuse and Michigan?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I had interest in forestry from even before going to college. I was very active. 1941 in the College of Forestry. And you may recall that we had a little event known as World War II then, and everything was upset.
Sure.
And I was in, and I was after about a year and a half at Syracuse, in which I was in majoring in forestry. I was went into military service for 3 years, and when I came back, I decided that my interest lay more in the science, the wood science and engineering aspect of forestry, than in the growing trees itself. And so I transferred. I came back into the wood technology program at Syracuse, and finished my work at Syracuse, and have continued my work in that field.
Okay. Just for the record, could you talk a little bit about where you grew up and when and where, and just a little bit about your earlier life?
Okay, I grew up in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, a city in the west end of Massachusetts in the Berkshire Hills. There was lots of opportunity there to be outdoors and in the forest. I guess growing up there was pretty conventional. I was in the usual things in scouts and church and high school and so forth. One reason I was interested in Syracuse as I reached the end of my high school career was that my mother had been a graduate of Syracuse many years ago, and nothing related to forestry, but in biology. And so I looked to Syracuse just because I knew they had a good, strong program supported by the state of New York. It was really a New York State College of Forestry, and since then it's separated to become a separate College of Environmental Science and Forestry as part of the State University of New York. But my early interest was prompted by my forestry recreation activity growing up in western Massachusetts, and the fact that my mother had gone to Syracuse, and I therefore looked particularly at Syracuse, and so that's how I got started in it.
Okay. Now, what were your first impressions when you started work with the Forest Products Labs?
My first impressions. Well, let's see. Assigned to my research work that I'd been doing in Michigan had been in the area of wood drying, and I suppose for that reason in particular, they assigned me to the wood drying section at the lab, and there was at that time a lot of work being done on providing a strong basis for drying woods, particularly the more difficult to dry hardwoods, economically and safely without splits and cracks and so forth. And I had been working in that area at Michigan as a graduate student. My impression was that here was a rather immense organization with a tremendous history, and I wondered how I could ever really become part of such a very large institution that had already become rather well established in the field of forest products research.
Okay. Now, can you describe a typical day in working at the Forest Products Labs? What was something that you did on a regular basis. What was the...
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand what you were saying.
Sure. Could you describe a typical day at the Forest Products Labs?
A typical day?
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah, something that's hard to believe now. At that time, there was a whistle, and the 8 o'clock whistle at the lab called people to work all over the west side of Madison. And as I recall, we even had a punch clock. And this was back in 1951. And I would check in, and I was working with a gentleman by the name of John McMillan on some drying research on northern red oak. And my job was to prepare sample boards to go in the kiln to determine how it was drying and to go into the kiln and set them and occasionally during the drying process to take them out and measure them, weigh them, determine the rate of drying and so forth. And I would do that. And so I did quite a bit of work with the lumber dry kilns. And while I was not doing that, I began to get letters to answer, letters written not to me but to the laboratory, about wood drying and various kinds of woods. One of the questions that I think of now that I often receive then, particularly now being down in Virginia in what has been a strong tobacco country, was, how can I convert a tobacco dryer to a wood dryer? And I used to answer a lot of letters about that. And also, I answered letters about various woods and how they could be used or not used effectively, particularly foreign woods. And I built up quite a reference listing on that topic. And then, and so my days were filled with that kind of thing. Another factor of the lab support at that time changed the course of my work. During and for some time after the war, the lab was very much supported by the military. I recall the military provided about half the budget for the place, and after I had been there about a year, I was transferred to the packaging group and assigned to a team working in the packaging to write an air cargo packaging manual. Well, knowing nothing about air cargo and nothing about packaging, but a little bit about wood, I learned quite a lot on this team. We had about four people, and we did most of our work from reference there at the lab. A little bit of travel. assistantship and fellowship to go to Yale for a year. And I began that in the fall of 53. So that was another dramatic change. And I spent the academic year, 53-54, in New Haven at Yale. The folks at the lab had told me I could work on my dissertation research when I got back, and I began plans for this at Yale, and I did pick it up, working in the stresses that developed in wood drying and the related physics and mechanics as I got back. And at the same time, carrying out quite a bit of work related to military support for work on orthotropic materials, which the lab had a unique knowledge of. Orthotropic materials are materials that have perpendicular mechanical properties in fact, in three directions. And so this could extend to glass fabric laminates and many other kinds of things. And so I came back from Yale, spent the next 3 years working on my dissertation research, mostly at night, and carrying out military-supported research in wood mechanics and composite mechanics, plastics mechanics, during the daytime.
Okay. Now, did your job require any traveling?
Some, yeah. One of the interesting projects I had in my early years at the lab was, again, supported by the military. The Navy was had established some centers of dry storage in order to keep their materials dry and in good condition, and they set these up at naval supply centers in Norfolk, Virginia, San Francisco, in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and in forgotten the name of the other one, in Utah. And they were also using wood containers. The Navy had a very large program of storing material to preserve it and to keep it ready for shipment to anywhere in the world using wood containers. These were rather ordinary wood boxes, well made, but ordinary wood boxes. And they couldn't figure out why it was that when they put these in their dry storage, the boxes kept splitting. And so I spent several months working with a gentleman named Ed Rasmussen, traveling to these naval supply centers to examine the storage and to see what the problem was. And it turned out to be a fairly simple problem of the fact that they were using green wood, and as it dried, it shrank and split. And we helped them set up a program of making sure they had dry wood, and the dry wood was well prepared to use in boxes. And I think that solved their storage problem. And a year before I got into packaging, and then subsequently went to New Haven. And we did a lot of traveling. Traveling then was by rail. Air travel was just beginning. This was in 51, 52. Utah and to Norfolk, Virginia, and to Pennsylvania, to these naval supply centers by train, and would usually arrange for a Forest Service automobile when we got there from a nearby Forest Service experiment station, and use that to do the little driving that we needed to do to go to the Naval Supply Center and do our work there. That was the major traveling. Then there were little calls from manufacturers around who were having problems with drying and wood deformation, and that's which occasionally we would do if we could. This was the beginning of my traveling for the lab.
Okay. Now, during the time that you worked for Forest Products Labs, were there any projects or offices that you held that you found particularly challenging?
I'm sorry, I couldn't follow you.
Sure. Were there any projects or jobs that you had that you found particularly challenging while at Forest Products Labs?
Jobs that what?
That were challenging.
Challenging? Well, they all were.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the work in drying stresses that I began on with John McMillan was challenging because actually we were setting up a basis for instructions to those involved in drying wood commercially, which came out in the form of a dry kill operator's handbook, which I cooperated. I worked with Ed Rasmussen and John McMillan and another gentleman named Ed Reitz in preparing, and that handbook is still in use. It's been revised several times since, but the challenge in those then was to prepare the original kill operator's manual, and I was very much involved in doing that and the research that provided a basis for it.
Okay. What sort of projects did you find the most satisfying?
What sort of projects were most satisfying? Well, I think the wood drying work was satisfying in the sense that I had a chance to continue it and carry it further. And as I said, I carried that on into my dissertation work at Yale. And did further work in related to it after I finished my PhD work at Yale. I did further challenging work in how temperature and moisture and time of exposure affected the characteristics of wood that related to how it would dry and how it would perform under changing moisture and temperature conditions. And I did quite a lot of that work. Then after I had done that, about a year or so after I got back from Yale, or finished my work at Yale, they made me a project leader in charge of work on mechanical properties of wood, and that meant I had to spend much more time working at that. And there it was challenging in the sense that we were getting information on how wood behaved mechanically that was needed for establishing standards in the wood construction industry. And previous information, which had been gathered over many years at the lab, had to be refined and put in terms of modern engineering
are there any colleagues or people you used to work with that you have any memories or stories that you'd like to share? Any colleagues that you have any stories about or any memories about that you'd like to share?
No. I don't. I can't think of any.
Okay.
Colleagues. Well, I have lots of them, but I can't think of any particular stories.
That's not a problem.
Pardon?
That's no problem. Can you maybe talk a little bit about the different positions that you had?
Different positions?
Yeah. Kind of trace your work history at Forest Products Labs?
Yeah, okay. I mentioned being project leader in wood engineering. I did that for about, that was about 58. I had a call from the 1970. And then I guess decided that I needed some other experience. So I became the director of the Southern Forest Experiment Station, which is headquartered in New Orleans and has laboratories it's not like the Forest Products Lab. It has a whole bunch of projects at universities, mostly scattered all over the Mid-South, dealing with forestry in all aspects, a little bit in products, but more in actually in the forest and dealing with the wildlife and the relation of cattle and the silvicultural research going on and genetics research going on and all these things, which was, of course, a tremendously broadening experience. And I did that for about 2.5 years. Then they said, well, we'd like to have you come back to Washington. And then I went back to Washington as associate deputy chief for research. In other words, the backup for the man who was in charge of Forest Service research, which I did for another 3 years. And in the process of this, I got acquainted with Forest Service research all over the country and a lot of the university research and industry research that related to it. And then in 75, I went back to Madison as director of the lab, and was there until I retired in 1985. And in the course of this, and probably as a result of the international experience I'd had early in my career at the lab, I became very much involved in international cooperative research in forest products and forestry generally. There's a major organization that ties together forest research institutions all over the world. It's called the International Union of Forest Research Organizations, and it goes by its acronym IUFRO, UFRO. And I became very active in that, and for some years headed up the forest products research within that, which was a matter of communicating with and setting up programs of cooperation of research among institutions all over the world. At the time I retired from the lab, I was still very active in that organization, in UFRO. And when I went to Virginia Tech in 1975, the service provided some support for me to continue that work for a couple of years, which I did.
Okay, so
I don't know what more you want.
No, sure, that's great. That's a very, very comprehensive. Now, about the USDA Forest Service, how did you feel about working for the Forest Service?
Well, I was really quite. I felt I was quite honored to be able to do that. The thing I felt about it was that it was really a very strong public-related government agency. And I felt that in the work we were doing at the lab and the other activities that I carried out in the Forest Service, that was really the aim of it. I know there this was a time when public impressions of the Forest Service were changing fairly rapidly. This began while I was working in Washington. It began in a very noticeable way when the environmental movement became stronger and stronger, and the policies being used by the Forest Service in managing forests and the policies that the environmental organizations thought should be used to manage forests were not exactly in agreement. And this didn't really upset my view of the Forest Service and working for it, but it did lead to a lot of questions on the part of my friends in industry and in the universities as to why I should want to work with this outfit that was destroying all the trees on the one hand, and from the industry standpoint, not providing all the information they needed. The Forest Service research program was undoubtedly the strongest research program in the world in forestry, and as such, it led to some questions about why we did that or why we didn't do something else, and there was always more to do than could be done, and it was a matter of selecting priorities. And I thought generally that the Forest Service was doing that in a very wise manner in terms of the concern for the public, the forest resource of the United States. And so I was really quite honored to be a part of that.
Okay. Now, if you could, for a while, talk about your retirement from Forest Products Labs. Why did you retire?
Why did I retire?
Yes, sir.
Well, I had been the director of the lab for 10 years. That's a rather challenging job, and while it was fascinating, it was also exhausting in some ways. And I really never tired of the challenges there, but I began to reach the point where I thought, well, maybe I've had 10 years to do my part in this. Maybe I ought to turn it over to somebody else. And furthermore, in one of the things that I had tried to do as director of the lab was strengthen our tie to forest products research in universities all over the country. And one of my particular interests was having administered much of this from the federal government point of view at the Forest Products Lab, working with universities. I wanted to see what this research field looked like from the university point of view, and I was really looking forward to being able to get that perspective. So I considered the various options and began to get pulled away by various things. For example, during the last year I was director, I spent a great deal of my time on a special commission from the Agency for International Development, USAID, heading up a commission to review the agency's forestry program. And I was in and out of Washington much of the time that last year. And that, of course, broadened my interest. And the fact that the people somebody else to get their ideas into the system. So I was looking for some new perspectives then, and took the offer of the people at Virginia Tech to come here.
Now, do you feel like your work here has left a mark?
Left a mark?
Yeah. Do you think that it's it has left a mark on other people at Forest Products Labs or the USDA Forest Service?
Well, I'm not sure. I'd say.
Have any other stories or memories or comments that you'd like to make?
Then I remember
Do you have anything else you'd like to discuss?
I don't know much more I can add.
Sure. Well, no, this is all really good. Well, I appreciate your time.